today on Family Talk.
Thanks for joining us for the special edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. A special conversation on the program today as we begin a two-part discussion on stopping the barbarian invasion.
Today, we have a very great treat for our listeners. Joining us in the studio today is a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Michael Youssef. Many of you know him, the majority, I would guess. We have known each other for a long time, and I have the deepest respect for this man. But before we get into our interview today, and we've got a lot to talk about, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Youssef. He is the founder of the Church of the Apostles with fewer than 40 adults in the beginning, with a mission to equip the saints and seek the lost. The church has grown now to a congregation of over 3,000 people. And I had the opportunity of being interviewed in his pulpit one Sunday some years ago. The church has grown to this congregation. It's still growing. And he's also the founder of Leading the Way Ministry. I'm sure many of you have seen him on television, heard him on radio, and he has been in ministry now for 28 years. Leading the Way television and radio programs are broadcast in 25 languages to audiences across six continents through dual language programs. Dr. Youssef holds degrees from Moore College in Sydney, Australia, from Fuller Theological Seminary, and he has a PhD in social anthropology from Emory University. He's also the author of 30 books, more than 30, including God Help Me Rebuild My Broken World and Fortify Your Faith in Difficult Times. We want to talk today about his newest book, The Barbarians Are Here, Preventing the Collapse of Western Civilization in Times of Terrorism. I want to tell you, this is a book that I wish all of our listeners would read, because this tells you where we are in Western civilization and where we're headed if we don't change our ways and begin to recognize the threat. Yeah. I told you a few minutes ago that of all the comments that you made in your book, the one that really stands out to me is that we have no time to lose.
Exactly, Dr. Dobson. I mean, you look around, and if anyone who just studied history, just lightly, doesn't have to be a scholar of history, and begin to look at what is happening in the globe, certainly in Europe and in North America, and realize that two things have happened. The church departed from the truth, the foundational biblical truth, that Jesus is the only way to the Father and there is no salvation by any other name other than the name of Jesus. Well, once the church departed from the bedrock truth of the Scripture, they created a vacuum. Now, who is ready for that, to fill that vacuum, are the Muslims who have been planning and preparing, and I've been reading their material about their preparation to take over first Western world and then the rest of the world and install a caliphate or a successor to the prophet. So they're ready for that. They've been planning for that. They're preparing for that. And they are doing it. They are filling the vacuum in Europe. They're filling the vacuum created here because of the church's foolishness and departure from the truth. So we got the two are interconnected. They're not standing alone. They stand together. One created the vacuum. The other one came in and said, we can fill that vacuum.
What do they want America to do? How should we look to the barbarians?
There are two ways to look at them. First of all, there's a way to look at them as believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians. But the government needs to look at them differently, because God calls the government to do things that not the church. The church is to love, forgive, and reach with the gospel, the truth, and bring them to Christ. As we're seeing right now, thousands of militant Muslims, my colleague who's with me here today just did a story, filmed a story in Lebanon of a member of ISIS, one of the leaders of ISIS, converted to Christ. about first listening and then was followed up by on the ground team member. Now he's an evangelist. I mean, so that is the power of the gospel. That's the power of the church. Now, the government is called to do something different. The government is not called to have mercy. The government is called to exercise justice and to protect the citizenry. They are under obligation to do that. And when they fail to protect the citizenry from terrorism, they have literally abdicated their responsibility.
So you feel that terrorism is going to continue, that the radical jihads have a plan for us.
No question. they have a plan for our lives.
So all this bombing and killing and murdering in the streets and everything that's going on now is just the beginning.
Absolutely. And here's the problem. When we minimize them, and when our former president said they are the JV team, and they kind of dismiss them, they make two terrible mistakes. Number one, makes them more angry. And secondly, it is not true because their terrorism has succeeded. It frightened organizations such as ACLU. They would never take a group of Muslims who demand time for prayer in schools, as is happening across the country, to courts like they do with Christians.
That's an actual example. Yeah,
absolutely.
It?
I know. I can give you a chapter and verse. So they would not do that. They never, ever taken a group of Muslims who demanded a place to pray or a time to leave the class to pray. They never took them to court, but they will take Christians to court because they're afraid of them. A former head of the BBC had said that openly, publicly, that the reason BBC has a policy never to say anything negative about these Islamists, and that's a very big difference, and we'll talk about this, if not in this program, maybe the next one, the difference between Muslims and Islamists. Islamists are those politically oriented toward taking over the globe. He said, the reason we are soft on the Muslims, because we know they're going to show up with guns and bullets and grenades at our head office in Oxford Street. He said, but we beat up on the Christians because they have broad shoulders and they can take it. So they already succeeded in intimidating and frightening so many distinguished institutions across the Western world that nobody dares to either criticize them or criticize even their terrorist activities.
You made reference to our former president, of course, President Obama.
Yes.
And he almost refused to ever even admit that they are behind a lot of these killings and bombings.
Right.
What was his motive? Surely he's not that blind.
Sure. I can't get into his heart, but I think the whole reason secular humanism is blinding so many people, whether in leadership or in church, is that they don't think spiritually. They don't understand that this is a spiritual war beyond the fact that it is a physical war. It's a spiritual war. And so in his naivete, he thought that if he appeases them and gives them jobs, members of the Muslim Brotherhood had jobs in the Homeland Security and in other places in the White House. And if he can bring these Islamists and give them jobs here and promote them and hold them up, that they would turn their back on terrorism. But it doesn't work that way.
If we would just be nice to them.
Yes, they'll be nice back to us.
They would be nice back.
Well, 8 years of
that
didn't work.
That's called appeasement.
That's right.
And that does not work.
No, we've seen 8 years of it. From Paris to London to Nice to San Fernando and Orlando, Florida. I mean, it's all over the place proving that appeasement does not work. And the role of the government must be firm and to protect the citizenry. And if they do not do and take that seriously, worse things are going to be in store for us. I hate to say this.
Michael, you were born in Egypt.
That's right.
And had a passion to come to the United States.
Right.
You had a miraculous experience just getting out of Egypt because Nasser was in power and he was making nice with the Russians at the time.
Right. That's right.
And the Lord led you here and led from scratch. I mean, you landed with a suitcase and $100.
Yeah.
And the Lord made it very clear that he had a job for you to do.
Yes.
Before we hear the rest of that story, you were almost aborted. You came very close to not being given the right to.
Exactly. Exactly. Live. I am number seven in a family, and my mother was in a very poor health. I still remember the German doctor who was a friend of the family to this day, and two other doctors, local doctors, who have advised her very strongly. They said, your health will not allow you to go through another birth. Actually, she miscarried, so I would have been number 10, considering all the ones who miscarried. And so they said, this one has to go. And so they made the arrangements. My parents were planning on going to the hospital and getting taken care of that. At least that's how they talked about it. Until our pastor had a vision and came in early hours of the morning, knocked on the door, and he told my parents, of course, if you go through with the pregnancy and something happens to you, he said, I've got to live with myself. But because I really believe that that's from the Lord, that whoever is going to be born, he or she is going to serve the Lord. God wants that baby. My mother was a godly woman, and she was a prayer warrior, and she immediately said, that's it. I don't need convincing. Our pastor gave us a word. And so she, by faith, had me back in 1948, and then she lived for 16 more years, for which I'm very grateful, so I got to know her. I'm grateful.
So you kind of grown up with that understanding that the Lord had a plan for you.
Yes, and I didn't like it.
You were kind of rebellious.
Yes, well, growing up hearing that and seeing all my siblings are very successful in the business world and banking world and so forth, I said, well, I don't want to get to the ministry. And so I thought if I rebel, you know, God kind of changed his mind about calling me. But again, God in a supernatural, marvelous way brought me to himself, converted me to himself in 1964. That call began to be renewed inside of me. And then the Lord, in order to kind of put the icing on the cake, supernaturally got me out of Egypt. I mean, literally, I escaped with the clothes on my back. And so I said to him in the time when I was really desperately trying to leave, I go anywhere, I do anything. And so every time, although this was 58 years ago, but every time I go through situations, the Holy Spirit kind of whispers in my ear.
Don't forget.
Yeah, I go anywhere, I do anything. That always repeated in my mind. And I said, I'll go back and say, Lord, okay, I'll do it, whatever it is.
You still know a lot about the Middle East. In fact, you just came back from there.
Exactly. 2 weeks ago, we came back, and we were there right after the bombing of the churches.
And those are the Coptic Christians?
Two Coptic Christian churches.
How many died?
45 people died and 100 been injured in both churches. And it's really become a very, very sad day for the Christians. The president, Sisi, came to the forefront and immediately declared the state of emergency and began to protect the churches. And so I'm grateful for that. But here's the thing. I want every one of our American audience to listen to this very carefully because it really should bring us all out of our seats. There are about roughly 12 to 15 million Christians in Egypt. The largest church is the Coptic Orthodox Church, about 9 million. All the Protestant churches, there are 17 different denominations. They comprise about 3 million people. And then the Catholic Church, which is a smaller still. And so here's on Palm Sunday. We all saw it in the news. We saw the palms being scattered with blood. And you would think that the Christians would say, oh, my goodness, going to church for Easter and Good Friday, we're going to get killed. So they stay home. Instead, all the churches have talked with each other, all the leaders. They took statistics, and they said there were 2 million more Christians in churches this Easter than the previous Easter.
Really?
As if to say to the terrorists, come and kill us if you like. We're not afraid of you. And that is really the kind of courage that God is honoring, and that's why God is blessing these churches. And they're seeing with their own eyes thousands of Muslims coming to Christ and being baptized. Some of them underground, some of them leave the country and become above ground.
So you have hope for that region of the world.
I think if the Spirit of God is departing from the West, He is working in Indonesia and in Asia and in the Middle East in a miraculous way.
Do you think the Spirit of the Lord is departing from our country?
I have sensed that in the past 10 years. Just think about this. Barna, among many others, have said their most accurate statistic says that around 60% of the so-called born-again Christians in America believe there are many ways to God other than through Jesus.
That is sad.
That is absolutely makes me weep at times, and I really mean literally weep. So when you see that and you see the love of many is growing cold, you realize that the Spirit of God says, okay, I'm not going to strive with you forever. And that's why those of us, the remnant who love the Lord Jesus, need to be crying to Him day and night that He may remember us again and send us an awakening again.
Is the Christian church asleep?
In America, yes. You talk to people, and as a pastor, of course, I'm around people and I talk. I said, well, I didn't make it to church. I watched on the streaming because last week I couldn't get a good parking space. I mean, there's just the love of even the believers is growing cold or lukewarm. And so when you see that, it's so disheartening on the one hand.
It's into that vacuum.
Yes.
That the Muslim threat has moved.
Exactly. Exactly. It happened in Europe 50 years ago when it started, and now it's coming here. When you think there are 5 million Muslims in France, their mufti, the mufti of France, the Muslim leader of France, who told them to go and not vote for Le Pen because she is going to send the Muslims home. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I don't get into politics. But he told them to go and vote for the other guy. And they held sway on the French election. As so many in the 2 million who are in England are saying that they can hold a sway on the election of the Conservatives in June. So, you know, you see this is happening. And the Muslims in France, for example, although it might be 5 million, but they're producing at least 4 to 6 children each family. And while the French birth rate is below zero, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. They said we will have a French president probably in 10 years' time. I don't doubt them.
So given this apathy within the church and the high motivation of this Muslim community, the radical
Islamists,
ones.
Yes.
And that's not everybody.
Right.
That's not every Muslim, right?
Yeah.
We can see where the train's moving. It's going down the track.
And that's why I said the book, The Barbarians Are Here, has taken me 20 years to write, although I've written a lot of books. But because I've been watching this, and I sensed initially to write it 20 years ago, but I've been waiting. And I can tell you, every day unfolds. The passion of that book and the vision of that book is proving it again and again and again until finally I said, I got to write it. In a sense, some of my friends call me Jeremiah because I'm a weeping prophet. I spoke to the NRB 10 years ago, and my message was from Jeremiah, oh, that I may, my head is fountain of water and my eyes are fountain of tears, so I may weep day and night over my people. And in a sense, this is the cry of Jeremiah in that book, pleading with the Christian church, the evangelical church, wake up. Stop being entertained.
Okay, Dr. Youssef, I'm going to ask you to do something I don't ever remember asking an author to do. I would like you to read a short portion of the first chapter of your book. It's called Terrorism, Our Exile, and that'll give us the flavor of the book. Would you do that?
If our audience are patient, I would be happy to read it.
If they sleep through this, I'm really worried.
I'm a very slow reader. In February 2015, ISIS released a horrifying 5-minute video showing the beheading of 21 Coptic Christian men. The mass murder took place on the coast of Libya by the Mediterranean Sea. ISIS had kidnapped these men, all but one of whom were Egyptians from the city of Sitra, Libya, where they were doing migrant work. Many of the men, dressed in orange jumpsuit like prisoners, spoke the name of the Lord Jesus as they were executed. The one non-Egyptian martyr was a young man from West Africa, a co-worker of the Egyptians. He was not a Christian at the time of the kidnapping. But when he saw the great faith of the Egyptian Christians, he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It is reported that when the terrorist told him that he could live if he would renounce Jesus, he replied, "Their God is my God." The ISIS video was titled, quote, "A message signed with blood to the nations of the cross." After the murderers had carried out, the hooded speaker pointed his knife to the sea, toward Rome, and he declared in English, "We will conquer Rome by Allah's permission."
Is that what they also want for us?
Yes, but they believe they can do these things in stages. They feel if they cause the Vatican to fall, or if ISIS takes over the Vatican and fly the ISIS flag, they think it will be a domino, and all those sleeper cells in Europe will rise and take over power. They figure out, and many of them have said that publicly and on videos, that they have pictures in their websites where the Islamist ISIS flag, black flag, is flying over the White House. I mean, that is really the ultimate goal. But they believe in doing things gradually. They want Rome first, the Vatican, and then the rest of Europe and eventually North America. That's their strategy.
You know, I've seen that photograph many times of the Coptic Christians marching down
beach.
By the Mediterranean to have their heads cut off. Mm. That's chilling.
It is.
I mean, if that tells you what we need to know about those that would destroy us, I understand the title to your book, The Barbarians
already
Are
here.
Coming.
Yeah.
They're already here.
They're already here.
They're here.
Yeah.
Tell me in what extent.
Well, this is not a secret knowledge. There are, if you go to jihadwatch.com or one of the websites that are following this, there are so many training camps of ISIS in states that you wouldn't think about, like Tennessee and West Virginia and on the West Coast, all across America, 32 training camps for ISIS. And the government knows about it. The FBI knows about it. And a lot of people know about it. It's not a secret.
Are we just naive?
As I told you.
We're powerful. We're big. We're strong. The oceans will protect us. We need not fear.
We laugh at them. We laugh at them. We just said, oh, what's this? As like somebody told me from the White House back in the early days of the 80s, quoting now, I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm quoting this person, an official. Do you think these goat herders are going to come and destroy us? We are the most powerful nation in the world. And the thing is, this was the very beginning, and I wish they listened to me back then.
You were saying it.
Two things. In 1982, I had meetings with some government officials, and I shared with them the danger and you know how they wait and they strategize and they plan, and at the right time, they'll do things.
And on that note, we have reached the midpoint of this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We've been listening to Dr. Dobson's conversation with Dr. Michael Youssef, pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, and author of the eye-opening new book called The Barbarians Are Here, Preventing the Collapse of Western Civilization in Times of Terrorism. You'll find a link for this book on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. God has given Dr. Michael Youssef a unique perspective on the rise of terrorism from the Islamic world, both as a Christian and a pastor, but also as a man born in Egypt who knows firsthand how quickly terror and evil can spread. Again, for information on Dr. Michael Youssef's book, The Barbarians Are Here, Preventing the Collapse of Western Civilization in Times of Terror, click onto our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. If this program has been a benefit to you, be sure to let us know about it by using our new listener feedback line. Call toll-free 844-823-2669. That's 844-823-2669. Finally, this word of thanks for your prayers and ongoing financial support of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This program is completely listener-supported, and we rely on God through your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in this work that He has called us to, equipping families to stand for righteousness in today's culture by modeling healthy marriages and parent-child relationships. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can make your contribution over the phone when you call toll-free at 877-732-6825. And be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of our conversation with Dr. Michael Youssef about stopping the barbarian invasion of terrorism in the West. That's on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.